Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. I am joined by an awesome American. MAGA Hulk.
Yes, sir.
Stephen Davis.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
It's good to be here.
So I first saw your video about a month ago.
Okay.
Of you at the lockdown rally.
Yes.
In California.
Yes.
And your physique took up the entire screen. I wish I could say the same about myself. You wear that MAGA hat every time I've seen you.
Every time. Every single time. Without fail.
Tell me,
you know,
how'd you become a Trump supporter?
It was a long journey. It was an arduous one. You know, it's one of those situations where, like, I grew up watching Trump. 90s, 2000s, I saw Trump. Everyone loved him. Everyone revered him. They sung songs about him. They had albums for this man. Everyone wanted
Mac
to run his...
Mac Miller had a song about Trump.
Thank you. Exactly. That's the stuff I'm talking about. That's the type of things that I noticed. You know... To go to the 2000s, he has his TV show, The Apprentice, guest stars in the WWE. I mean, this man was revered. He came out.
Sipping poolside at Mar-a-Lago, right?
You see what I'm saying? Exactly. Now, all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe that he's some vicious racist, some horrible person. He's just like Hitler. The narrative kind of messed with me a little bit. I knew what I knew, but I'm hearing this from the news media, and I kind of revered him at the time. I thought the news media told the truth, especially the leftist apparatus. So after a while, you know, I was like, you know what? Let me do a little critical thinking. Let me do a little research. Come to find out, okay, this policies actually make sense. The things that he's talking about actually make sense. He wants the best for America. He wants the best for his citizens. He wants the best for people like me. So why am I supposed to hate him again? So, you know, it was one of those, I just flipped. I flipped, and I'm not turning back.
So you grew up culturally Democrat, would you say? Just like a soft Democrat, basically?
I would say a soft Democrat, because I really believe that every black person typically is raised conservative, with conservative
really?
Values.
Because the media absolutely. Will tell you something different.
Oh, absolutely the media will tell you something different. But the fact of the matter is most blacks are raised with conservative values. Love God. Abortion is wrong. Work hard for everything that you want. That's what we were taught as kids all the way through growing up. And somewhere the wires get switched and we get shamed into becoming a Democrat and claiming the Democrat Party.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up all over the place in Southern California, San Diego, Riverside, Hemet. Now in Lucerne Valley, I'm all over the place.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
And so you went to a lockdown protest on your own. Our great Benny Johnson saw you.
Yes.
What was your involvement in politics before the protest?
Well, before the protest, I was that person on Facebook always trying to bring some awareness, you know.
Yeah.
Especially after my political awakening. I was always trying to bring some awareness, trying to debate and actually have some conversation. So when it came to the lockdowns and these protests, it was like, okay, it's only fair. It's only fitting that I go out here and support my fellow patriots in the common cause. And that's what I started doing. And I had a wonderful time. Wonderful time.
And so then Benny's met you and you've been retweeted by the president now?
Yes.
The leader of the free world retweeted your video.
Amazing. Amazing feeling. Oh my! And that's the thing about President Trump. He takes interest in the people.
Amen.
That's the thing that's very different from him than other presidents, especially the previous president.
Talk about that. He was a black president.
Absolutely. A black president who took interest in stars.
Mm, you know, like Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Exactly. Exactly. But when it comes to the actual people who elected him, the Democrat Party, they take us for granted. They take the black vote for granted. They take the black people for granted.
Wow.
So needless to say, when it comes to showing any love to the people, what for? You already have them in your pocket. President Trump comes around and he takes an interest in the people, in the citizen.
Yes.
And we need more of that.
And so he communicated to you in a way that meant something, right?
Yes.
Did any other Republican do that before Trump?
No. Mm-mm. Not at all, especially at that time. I was very apolitical.
Yeah.
But you look at the situation. You look at these different presidents and what they stand for. It's like, I don't identify with you. I can't identify with you at all because you're not identifying with me.
But they're also just plastic and they're just kind of boring and artificial, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They have – there's no gusto to them. That's what I love about President Trump.
I love that
word. This, 'cause this is what they lack. This president has that. He is bold. He's fierce like a lion, and especially when it comes to the media, and I love that. We need more of that. We need more warriors out here.
With currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be totally wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on, from their online casino to poker and blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on stock prices, the weather, and even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And NASCAR is back. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Looks like we're finally going to get some basketball back in August. So visit our good friends and exclusive partner, Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with Candace Owens. Mm-hmm. And she got her start here at Turning Point, and Brandon Tatum, Terrence Williams, great Patriots, mm-hmm. right? And from what I understand is that in Black America, there is an agreement that, you know, politicians have not always had the best interest of Black America. And I agree with that, by the way. What's amazing to me, though, is why does Black America keep voting in those Democrat politicians?
We are told to. We have been conditioned time and time again. Especially, I mean, if you think about it, it's a monolithic way of thinking. You have to walk lockstep with the Democrat Party. It doesn't matter that they don't do anything for the Black community. It doesn't matter that they destroyed the Black community and destroyed the and removed fathers out the home.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't matter. You're supposed to look over that. That's nothing. At the end of the day, you are to do as you're told. And if you don't, if you walk out, if you become a conservative, you will be shamed. You will be laughed at. You'll be taunted. You'll be vilified. You'll be disparaged. And that's what's been happening on a consistent basis.
So you wear that beautiful MAGA hat.
Yes, sir.
For people watching the YouTube clip. Mm-hmm. But this is also an audio clip, so I got to say that. This beautiful MAGA hat that's blue. I've seen you wear a red one.
Yes, sir.
When you walk in the Black community and they see that hat, what's the reaction?
Confusion.
Interesting. Tell me about that.
it's
not necessarily condemnation.
Not at all. Not at first. Not at first.
Mm.
It's confusion. It's, I don't understand what I'm seeing. I get more people shaking their head at me than anything. They don't understand. They want to say something. They want to approach. They don't know what exactly to ask because they're not used to it. You know, a lot of people in the Black community has been shamed into not wearing a MAGA hat, Black Trump supporters.
So, and there's a lot of Black Trump supporters?
There are a very, very vast number of Black Trump supporters out there. I get them in my inbox all the time. They tell me they want to be bold. They want to be like a lion, but they know how vicious the left is. They want to wear the MAGA hat. How do I wear the MAGA hat? How do you wear the MAGA hat? How do you do it? And I get these questions all the time, and you just have to be bold. You just have to be strong. And stand on the courage of your convictions and just go for it.
I got to tell you, being strong for you is an easy thing. And I do want to get at the end of the episode, I want to ask about that. But let's talk more about that though. Confusion.
Yeah. Mm.
Let's just play it out for us, because a lot of our listeners, mm-hmm. they'll never step foot in some of the communities. To be honest, that you might have grown up in or that you're in, you know. I'm talking about in LA, Black, you know, predominantly
yes.
Black community,
yes.
right?
Oh, yes.
Tell me the conversations that are happening in real time around Donald Trump.
The conversations are, the typical thing I always hear is, why do you support that man? You know he's a racist, right?
Really? Okay.
That's the go-to for them, because that's what the media has parroted time and time and time again. So we have a conversation. I ask them about their political views. They usually don't have any, which is typical. I ask them who they listen to. They say CNN and MSNBC, which is typical. So I understand their perspective because I used to be there. I understand it because I used to be one. So I can kind of converse with them on that level and get them to kind of open their mind. And at the end of the day, when it's a civil conversation, they understand my point of view. They understand where I'm coming from. But they're so taught, they understand that they're supposed to act a certain way. They're supposed to react a certain way. So they automatically, they hear what I'm saying, but they disagree. Automatic.
And so, but you think after some, you see after some conversation, mm-hmm. real progress can be made.
Absolutely. We need to return back to civility. We need to return back to a situation where we can stand face to face and have a civil dialogue. So much can be achieved. So much can be accomplished if we can just return back to civility and have civil conversations about facts.
And so I'm sure you get a lot of hate online.
Oh, my.
I think racism is alive and well in America, but mostly by white liberals.
Actually, by black liberals.
Tell me.
Oh, my gosh. My inbox is constantly flooded by the typical sellout, Uncle Tom, coon, and other phrases I will not say on
this PG-rated program.
But it's disgusting. It is disgusting because they know that you left. You had the courage to leave. You have the courage to have a free-thinking mind. How dare you, black man? You better come on back. And if you don't come back, I'm going to continue to disparage you. I'm going to continue to vilify you. That's their mindset. And I constantly get it on a daily basis.
How do you deal with that?
You have to grow a thick skin. You just have to understand that you stand on the side of truth. And when you stand on the, especially when you get training when you're a Christian, because when you're a Christian, you get vilified for being a Christian. You know, the Bible talks about endure hardship. So I'm trying to endure my hardship, you know, as a Christian. And when I became political and I started realizing that this is going to happen. It's just going to happen. You just kind of just deal with it.
Amen.
Yeah.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, and labor regulations. HR manager salaries are never cheap. I can tell you from personal experience, they are not cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business. Help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help and get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spell BAM to the BEE.com/Kirk. And so you get criticized all the time online, and yet you relentlessly stand for truth.
Absolutely.
Talk about your faith. Speak a little about that.
You know, I was raised a Christian, you know, in a Christian home, a strict Christian, as a matter of fact. And I fell away for a little bit, and, you know, you come back and have that renewed vigor that was once gone. It was non-existent. And you come back and you have this fire in you and you stand strong on that. And I stand strong on truth. The Bible is all about truth. The Bible is a prescription. It has a prescription for everything that you face in life. So I resort to the Bible when it comes to any type of political discussions I have because it's rooted in truth.
Amen.
So I have no fear when it comes to these leftists.
Yeah, and I think they have a lot of fear of you.
Well, again, civil, if you're civil, civil will always bring about good discussion.
The big man, the bigger man is arguing for civility.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think that Christ is what anchors all of us. Mm.
That is so true. That is so true. I mean, he went through the ringer, and, you know, if there's one person to emulate, that's definitely Christ, because he was vilified. He was disparaged for talking that real talk, giving that real talk, period. It doesn't matter what is going on. It doesn't matter what the people did.
The mob.
No, but what the mob, exactly, the mob tactics of the left is the same mob tactics that Christ had to face from the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Amen.
So, I mean, what better example than Christ?
So you and I are both Christians.
Yes, sir.
Come from different backgrounds.
Absolutely.
I'm white. You're black.
Yes, sir.
The media is trying to turn people against each other right now.
They excel in creating division. They have been turning families against families, especially during the Trump presidency. Families are now at each other's necks and at each other's throats because of the fact that you're a Trump supporter, because of the fact that you're on the left and right. They create this chasm, this divide, and it's getting wider and wider and harder to bridge. That's why I need to. That's why I preach so much about civility, getting back to civility, being able to conversate one another with one another. We need to get back to that. That's the only way we can bridge this divide, and we got to turn off the television. We got to turn off
the simulation.
Thank you. Absolutely. Preach. Preach.
Because it is. They're trying to program us to hate each other.
Absolutely.
And you and I both believe in made in the image of God, Imago Dei, right?
Come on now. Thank you. Yes. Yes. I mean, we are created in God's image. We aren't supposed to be at each other's throats. No. You are not supposed to be kneeling in front of me to apologize.
And you wouldn't want me to do that.
No, not at
all. I'm not going to do that, by the way.
I appreciate it. That'll make things very uncomfortable.
Yes. But let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are white people going and kneeling to black people right now.
It's a combination of a lot of things. It's a pander fest, first and foremost. You see Nancy Pelosi and her squad.
They're wearing the African garb.
Unbelievable. I mean, the pander fest, it's just unbelievable. And we fall for it. The black people, because the black community is very emotional. We fall for that hook, line, and sinker. Absolutely. And for us, it's empowering for black people to have people kneel before us. Never mind the negative connotations, never mind the racism that it implies to have someone apologize for the color of their skin. Never mind all that. It's empowering for us. And it's a horrible ideology. It's a horrible mindset to have, but that's what you expect when it comes to the Democrat Party, whose history is steeped in racism. And their present is steeped in even more racism.
Talk more about that.
Well, the Democrat Party, I mean, the party of slavery, the party of the KKK, the party of Jim Crow, the party of segregation. You fast forward some years, you got welfare, which destroyed the black home and destroyed black families. You fast forward even more, and now you have Joe Biden blatantly telling people like me that the color of my skin is not valid unless I vote for him.
He says, you ain't black.
You ain't black. The nerve of this man to sit here and say, my heritage does not matter as long as I'm not useful, as long as I'm not going to be political fodder to bludgeon his opponent, my president.
Amen.
Unbelievable. And then now you have this situation where, you know, whites are kneeling in front of blacks, and this is all on the left side. This is all on the left. So the left is steeped in racism. Across the board, from the soft bigotry of low expectations to out-and-out blatant racism.
Talk about that.
I've seen more, oh my goodness, like with these riots, this looting. All these poor little black people. All these, they're just acting out. All those little animals, those little terrible people. I mean, we wouldn't do anything like that. We wouldn't do anything like that. But these people, they're going, just let them, this is how they grieve. That's terrible. Because you wouldn't expect that from anyone else. You wouldn't expect that from each other. But when it comes to black people, the soft bigotry of low expectations, the left owns that. The white liberal owns that. It's ridiculous. And we fall for it every time.
White liberals think they own black people because they used to.
Absolutely. Come on. That's exactly what it is. So it's nothing new. It's the same mindset. Just fast forward a number of decades, and it's the same mindset and the same traps that black people have been falling for. And it's ridiculous. It needs to stop. We need to wake up. We need to stop falling for these same tactics that has been holding us down and destroying our communities. That's we need right. to wake up.
And it, you mentioned abortion.
Mm. It amazes me that Black Lives Matter, they have this grand old movement, Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives Matter don't matter to Black Lives Matter. Because if it did, we are killing off our own future faster than we can create it in places like New York City. We are killing our future, our babies, the very babies that God said he knew before they were even born. We are killing, and we're, again, we're raised conservative. We're raised Christian.
Jeremiah 29:13 or something like that. That's right. I could be off by number.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and preach now. You know what I'm saying? You already got the microphone. Preach, brother. Yeah. You know? So it's just unacceptable, the ideologies that Black Lives Matter have been putting out when they don't really care about Black Lives. When in the hood, in these inner cities, we are killing each other faster than anything. But yet and still, we want to pinpoint and laser focus their attention. Black Lives Matter want to laser focus their attention on the few situations. What was it? 9 unarmed black men were killed by the police.
And even some of those 9, some were going for the police officer's weapon.
Thank you.
Some said they had a weapon.
Right.
And I'm not defending ever sin under God.
Right.
Or breaking the law.
Right.
But that's not widespread. Mm. Patrick Underwood and David Dorn are 2 black police officers killed by Black Lives Matter radicals.
Black Lives Matter doesn't matter to Black Lives Matter unless it fits a narrative. And that's the only time Black Lives Matter. And those are few and far between when it comes to, in relation to black-on-black crime.
And they, unfortunately, are gaining a number.
Yeah.
Corporate America is supporting it.
Mm.
In the black community.
Yes, sir.
Your family members. Are they falling for some of this? Or what are you seeing?
Honestly, you know what? My family members have been very, they have their wits about them. They understand what's going on. For the most part, I see it. I see it. We have, we don't have a lot of conversations about it, but they support what I do. So if they're supporting what I do, then obviously they have their eyes wide open,
yeah.
And I appreciate that. I'm glad that not everyone's falling for the okey-doke. Not everyone's falling for it. And I really, it gives me hope. It really does give me hope.
Look, I know a lot of people are trying to get into shape right now. With America reopening, I know people that are trying to get their summer body back. I get it. But even with a trainer, it could be hard to know if you're pushing yourself too much or not enough. And by cycling new exercises, you can get into shape. That's what FitBod does. FitBod. Fresh workouts that are fun. I know a lot of people that have used FitBod. I use it to get my back in shape because of my awful back injury. I could tell you that FitBod combines the knowledge of fitness pros with a powerful machine learning algorithm to give you a workout program that maximizes your results. They get a program tailored to your unique body, experience, and environment. It's perfect for anyone who's looking to get better fitness results, whether your goal is general fitness, strength training, muscle tone, bodybuilding, powerlifting, or Olympic weightlifting. FitBod workouts are balanced to avoid overworking muscles with varied exercises to keep you sharp. No equipment, no worries. FitBod has all the exercises that you guys can do from your home. So go to fitbod.me/Kirk. Get a personalized fitness plan that helps you work out smarter at fitbod.me/Kirk. That's 1 month free when you sign up at fitbod.me/Kirk. Let's talk about the election.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden
is
running for the presidency against Trump, unless they try to pull a fast one. Maybe some other person might come in.
Right, swoop in.
Yeah, he's very corrupt, most corrupt vice president in American history.
Mm.
He's bitterly racist. Do you think Black America will support Trump more so than the media will tell us?
I've noticed that Black America has been waking up as of late. Through the Trump presidency, it's opened our eyes, a lot of black people's lives, people that I never would have guessed or thought that they would, you know, vote Republican or vote for Trump. And they say they love the man. They love the man because of what he stands for, because of the fact that he's so blunt. We've been missing that. That's been missing from the political realm. You know, everything's smoke screen and mirrors. But when it comes to President Trump, he's very direct. Mm-hmm. The black community resonates with that. We love that. We love seeing a man who cares about the American people, who takes an interest in the
globalism.
American. Exactly. Not about these other countries. Not, you know, trying
open to open borders.
Right. Right. And that's what we need. We needed more of that. And we've been seeing it as a black community. So we are waking up. Our eyes are opening, you know, and it's a wonderful scene for me to be able to look at people and have these conversations with fellow black people. And we all agree. And we look at the different things that the Democrat Party has provided or, excuse me, has not provided, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to the black community.
Yeah. So there are black Democrats.
Yes.
Obama, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. They're flying around on their private jets. They are the ones saying America's an awful country. America's terrible. What's your take on these guys?
Well, these guys are first and foremost, they're just in it for themselves. They love the notoriety, they love the fame. They only come out when it comes to the ultimate black cause that's going to get the most publicity,
most donations, most publicity, all of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we've been seeing. I mean, a lot of people within the black community are wise enough to understand that the Al Sharptons out there are not in it for the black people. They're in it for themselves. Right. So, I mean, I want us to wise up a little bit more and wake up a little bit faster. But we are slowly but surely seeing the narratives and the race baiting that they're promoting.
So let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Because I've been really critical of Republicans mm-hmm. for ignoring the black community over the last couple decades, not communicating to black America, not putting forth solutions.
Right.
You're talking to someone here that a lot of people will listen to this podcast and all this. Mm-hmm. Speak to the senators, the congressmen, the party officials, the donors. What does the Republican Party have to do to wise up to win black votes? What do they have to advocate for? What do they have to say? What do they have to do? What do they have to demonstrate?
Mm. A little bit of faith and goodwill goes a long way. Just being there for show up to the black community. Mm-hmm. Be present. A lot of these individuals, they won't come to the hood. They won't come to the ghetto, you know? And we need to be able to see our representatives. It's one thing to say that I'm fighting for you. It's another thing to be here.
So you think present. Trump should go to the
I would really,
inner cities?
Absolutely.
Black churches?
Absolutely. Yes, we need to see.
Ask for the vote, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And a lot of times Republicans never even go into these areas, right?
They don't even know their own districts half the time. They don't
know.
They
just say that's the black district, the Democrat district. Cast it aside.
Right, right. But there's no actual activism within that district. There's no faith. There's no public displays of, look, I'm here. What do you need from me?
Yeah.
Let's have a town hall. Talk to me.
And I think that. And correct me if I'm wrong, it'll be, hey, the school around here sucks, right?
Come on now.
Right. We want more police, not less police.
Yes.
That's what I hear from people when I go.
Yes.
And I talk to individuals in this community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is an agreement that sometimes police can go too far
Absolutely.
At times.
Yeah.
And I can have that. I'm willing to have that conversation. But to mm-hmm. say to abolish police.
That's terrible.
Black people will die if that happens. Right.
Right. We know that. We know that. I mean, you take the average black man or the average black woman, we do not want to abolish the police. Do we want to have a situation where, a situation where they not as targeted or however they want to put it? Okay, that's a conversation we can
have.
Body
cams, transparency.
Right, that's fine. That's fine. But
abolishing
to say that is absolutely – no, that's a terrible idea.
It sounds like a white liberal cocktail party idea.
Absolutely. They think that's what we want. We don't want that.
Talk
we don't
about
want
them.
That. You know, God is a God of order. God
Amen.
Is the God of order. Satan, little g, is the little g God of disorder.
And chaos.
And chaos. What does law enforcement stand for? Law and order.
Mm.
So to remove that, you're blatantly advocating for satanic policies. And we know that. We don't want that. We don't want to disband a police department. We don't want lawlessness. We want order. We want justice.
And so I think Republicans need to get a little bit of backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Go into the black community. They're not going to bite.
I promise you.
Right? Because there is some fear with Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to the hood now, you know.
But I think that there'll be a warm reception to see someone that says, I'm a human being. We're all human beings. I represent you, right? School choice, faith,
yeah.
Pro-life.
Yes.
I mean, there's got to be in the black community more people that are pro-life than the media gives us credit for, right?
Absolutely. I talk to a lot of them and, you know, they'll be Democrat and they'll say, I don't agree with these abortion policies. I'm a Christian. How can I be a Christian and believe in abortion and believe in the murder, the wholesale slaughter of God's children?
Mm. If you see a pregnant woman on a subway in New York City, she's more likely going to a Planned Parenthood clinic exactly. than the delivery room. Abortion rate higher than the birth rate. Education's a huge issue. You've got broken schools, crime, fatherlessness.
Mm.
Talk about that.
That is one thing that's been a huge issue within the black community, and it all stems from welfare. You know, welfare, the whole welfare system created a particular system that black people, black men are not supposed to be in a home if yeah. you want to get this money. So it's a sad trade-off that has happened that we're willing to sell the black men to get them out just to get that check. And it's sad. It's a terrible situation. Now these kids are raised without a role model.
Father figure.
A father figure that is so vital to a child's development, right? And you got a situation where, you know, these gangsters, these gangbangers, you know, the child gravitates to them because that's the only father figure they see.
Wow.
So they gravitate to these gangbangers. They gravitate. And they
at a young age.
At a very young age.
9, 10, 11.
Right.
And they say, go do this to prove yourself. Or
absolutely. And this is your family now, though. This is your family. They've shown that they cared about you. You know, it may be a fake or faux care, but they care about you. They take care of you. They put money in your pocket. They mentor you in sometimes the worst ways, but they still...
They give you camaraderie.
Right, right. So
but by the time, a couple years later, they're either committing crimes that are right. unspeakable or right. they are... in prison or wherever.
Right.
So you, right. Let's drill into this. You've seen the negative impact of welfare in the black community.
Yes, indeed.
Have you seen how it has ripped families apart?
Absolutely. It's a terrible, terrible
cycle,
situation.
Right?
Absolutely. It is a cycle. That's exactly what it is. It is a vicious cycle that has been tearing apart the black community for decades, and it needs to stop.
Yeah.
It needs to stop.
And so I think there's a war on men in America. Yeah. You're a strong man, literally.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I think that we have the hyper-feminization of America.
Yeah.
We really do, where men are so weak for a variety of reasons, but this is not just to the black community, but if you were to impregnate a woman and abandon her, that is the definition of being a coward.
Absolutely, but that's the black culture. That's rap culture. That's complicated.
Thomas Sowell talks mm-hmm. about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to listen because I'm not allowed to even comment on this.
No, it's, you know, it's unfortunate because in within rap culture, it's all about pleasure for a moment.
Hedonistic?
Absolutely. Hedonistic behaviors and tendencies, and they promulgate that. And that is the lifestyle you're supposed to live. That is the way you're supposed to. As women, you're supposed to just understand that you're nothing but a piece of meat. And as men, you know, these are your playthings and you impregnate and you leave. And that's to be expected. And it's sad. It's a sad situation because we fall for it. We love it. These songs that are just terrible on its face. We love it. And it gets drilled into our minds. And this is our mindset. And this is what we do in the black community. This is what we do in the hood. It's just the way we are is what I've been told. It's unbelievable.
And so you speak out against that.
Absolutely. 100%.
Talk more about that.
I've been a very critical person when it comes to secular rap. Secular rap has been nothing but a negative just disservice. It's been a negative disservice to the black community. It promotes all the worst aspects of life. It promotes gangbanging. It promotes sex outside of marriage. It promotes, you know, songs like Hit It and Quit It. I mean, really? That's the ideology that's in the black. And they're bumping these songs. They're playing these songs a repeat. And this is what's being drilled into their mind so they can't have a wholesome look on life. It's ridiculous. It's terrible.
And it's not just the black community that listens to this music, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Studies show that a lot of suburban young men and women listen to it.
Yeah.
And it's too bad because gospel music is what was the beauty of the artistic expression of the black community.
That used to be the go-to, you know, gospel music, jazz.
Yeah, now, Louis Armstrong.
Absolutely. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now. We've gotten so far away from that because it doesn't, as they say, it doesn't speak to us anymore. You know, it's considered, it's not cool to like jazz. It's not cool to bump gospel. I listen to a lot of Christian rap, you know, mm-hmm. something that.
Lecrae, right?
Tadashi, KB, you know, different artists that promote a godly lifestyle, getting back to our conservative values that we were raised on. We need to get back to that. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that's going to save America is conservatism.
Yes.
We need to get back to that.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so we've seen in the 1960s Great Society program passed. Mm-hmm. I'm now being told by people like Ta-Nehisi Coates, I don't know if you know him or not or heard of him.
I've heard of him.
And others
that
are telling me, I have white privilege, that are telling us as a country we are systemically racist.
Mm-hmm.
Are we?
No, not at all. Not at all. First of all, you got to name the policy or something. You got to pinpoint it. Mm. But just to say
general indictment.
Right. It's easy to do that. Anyone can make a general. Now you're ghost hunting. You're ghost hunting now. How do I know what's what? If you're just saying blatantly, just out in the wind, oh yeah, it's systemic racism. Well, what policy? What actual policy is it that's creating this systemic racism? Oh, I don't know. It's just general systemic racism. You can't pinpoint to anything, so it's not real. You know, you can make anything of yourself that you want. You can do whatever you want with your life. The only person that holds the black community down is the black community, literally. Because if you try to elevate yourself, you try to elevate your thinking.
Talk about this.
Oh, my goodness. It's ridiculous because you can't be an educated man in the black community. You are given more props for being a person coming out of jail or someone trapping on the block than you do as an educated man. They don't want to hear your education. They don't want to hear about that. They want the glitz and glam that the BET shows them, that the MTV shows them, that these movies, you know, I still have people who refer back to the movie Boys in the Hood. They like that lifestyle. They think it's fashionable. But it's doing nothing but destroying us from within. We're imploding on ourselves. And it's ridiculous. I can't understand. I can't grasp it. I cannot grasp it. So people like me who are promoting a godly lifestyle, people like me are promoting conservatism, promoting free thinking, promoting anything intellectual. It just goes by the wayside, and I'm absolutely vilified for it.
But I think that there's a growing openness in the young black community for this.
Mm-hmm.
I really, maybe I'm misreading it,
mm-hmm.
but there has to be a part of the black community that wants more, that wants to flourish.
Yeah. I you know what I've seen, it's been really refreshing, is I've seen a lot of young black men be more interested in things that are going to promote a lifestyle that is edifying as opposed to something that's denigrating.
Mm.
You know, I've been talking to a couple of gentlemen and they're not Trump supporters or anything. They're not Republicans, but they are thinking in a way that is rather different from what I've seen.
And it'll get them to consider.
We'll get them there, absolutely, because they're intelligent people.
Once you get your life ordered.
Absolutely.
Because right now the divide in America is order, chaos, mm-hmm. order, chaos, right,
mm-hmm.
which you said is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get someone organized and ordered.
Oh, we'll bring them on over. It's not a problem. Give us a time, a little time.
And I believe, too, there's the Galatians 3, which mm-hmm. is the law is the school teacher of Christ. Mm-hmm. Law is the begotter of order. And once you have disorder, lack of organized thinking, you have unhappy people. That's why you burn down cities. That's why people go against each other. That's why you have almost a borderline civil war at certain times. I'm not saying we're
right
at that, but you know
constantly.
What I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're always at each other's throats.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the left doesn't want us to live harmoniously.
They get their the Democrat Party. You got to understand, the Democrat Party has been the party of disorder. They thrive off of that. They, if you can keep someone emotional in an emotional state, you will do their bidding. Pure and simple, plain and simple, across the board. If you keep people thinking that someone has their foot, their as Al Sharpton, their knee on your neck. If you keep people thinking that way, they're always going to look to the Democrat Party as their saviors. Rescue us from this oppression. You have the plan. Do something for us.
Mm.
It's because it's these evil, vicious, rotten Republicans that have their knee on our necks. So rescue us, Democrats. And they keep promising them. They promise. Every 4 years, they promise them, you know, we're going to do this for you. We're going to do that for you. We're going to help you in the black community this way and that. And it never happens.
And it's used just as political ploys.
Political. That's it. That's it.
And I actually think it's a bad thing that the black community hasn't demanded Republicans in more. Because when you're not competing for some vote, it gets taken for granted. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's... We've definitely been taken for granted.
Well, and I also, white suburbia has a messianic complex. Hear me out. I come from suburban America.
Absolutely.
And a lot on the white suburban liberal side, they think this unbelievably racist thing. Oh, we can solve black America. Messianic complex. I can fix it.
That's a terrible mindset to have. Is that
we know what's best.
We know what's best for these guys. We'll take care of them.
Yes,
it's a terrible mindset to have. It's rather it's kind of disturbing to think that that's
full of pride.
It is. It's full of pride and ego. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Unbelievable.
And you've seen that play out. People like Pelosi and Schumer. So you got Trump versus Biden. What does Trump have to do? What's his message to the black community to win? You wear that MAGA hat.
Yes, sir.
You say it loud and proud.
Yes, sir.
What does he have to say? What does he have to do? What does he have to advocate for? Speak straight to the president.
Oh.
I might be able to get him to listen to this.
Well, keep doing what you're doing for the black community. Keep standing up for the black community. Keep being a voice for America and for the black community. Because we are listening. The black community is listening to President Trump.
Mm.
It's just we have to hear that right message. And it depends on each hood, honestly. It depends
really?
On the hood. It really does.
So to explain that.
Well, I mean, you know, depending on the hood's needs, I should say. You know, certain hoods, I mean.
But I've never heard this before. So, I mean, talk about this.
I really believe that each hood is very distinct. I mean, we.
Can you explain what you mean by hood?
Like,
do you mean neighborhood or do you mean just kind of like city blocks? Or?
I don't want to necessarily say the ghetto, but I want to say the areas of high concentration of blacks.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so
even
within a certain city like L.A., there might be different.
Right. Right. Different ideologies.
Okay.
You know, I've spoken to some different I've spoken to different people with different ideologies when it comes to Trump. You know, some people believe that he's being too brash. Some people think that he's not being brash enough. No, some people think that he needs to speak more clearly. Some people think, I mean, it all differs. It all differs, you know. And it's hard to kind of hone in on what the actual message is.
Yeah. But you were saying that Trump needs to, people are listening and people are looking at it differently in each area.
Absolutely. People are listening. The black community is listening. The black community really... They want change. They want change. They can't get behind a person like Biden, and they know that. They know that.
Talk about that. Well, is there excitement for Biden?
No, not at all. Not at all. There's. We all understand that Biden is a gaffe machine, and a lot of
he's kind of a clown.
He really is. He really is. A lot of people in the black community make fun of Biden on a continuous basis, and it's actually rather funny that they understand that this guy is not presidential material. But yet and still, they're going to vote. They say they're going to vote for him anyways because that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to vote Democrat. So we have to pull them from that. We have to incentivize them to look at the Republican Party as a party of freedom, of justice and liberty for all.
And a better future.
And a very much a better future.
Have you voted before in an election?
Not at all. I will be voting this
time. Hold on a sec. You've never voted before.
I've never voted for, because in 2016, I didn't know anything about voting.
No, that's okay. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. You didn't vote for Obama.
Not at all. Not at all. I thought he was a great guy. I supported him because he was a black guy. So much for the idea of basing someone on the content of character and not the color of the skin. So I went against that. But I never voted in that type of situation. So this will be it.
So you, for the first time in your life, will be voting for Donald J. Trump.
You better believe it. He earned it. More than earned it.
Wow. So he, in a lot of ways, activated you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have been 100% activated, and I'm all for him.
And you're willing to, obviously, advocate and, mm-hmm. you know, get engaged and get involved.
Absolutely. 100%.
So now I got to ask you about your physique. So what is your routine to make yourself look like, you know?
Working out every day.
Every day?
Every day.
What do you eat? Let's start with that one.
Everything.
So for the audio listeners, we call Stephen Davis MAGA Hulk.
Yes, sir.
And he would make The Rock look like a twig. I mean, he has biceps that could conquer a small Central American country.
That works for me.
He's got a chest the size of the Panama Canal.
There we go.
He's got shoulders that rival the Himalayas. I mean, he's got there's. It's almost as if it's a sloping upwards.
That'll work.
So walk us through your daily workout routine.
Oh,
as of which I could use some of that help.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. I mean, it depends on the day, whether I'm working chest or biceps or tris or back or shoulders. It all depends on the day, but it's very heavy weight. Quite a few sets, I'm not going to lie, quite a few sets.
So how much time you spend on it?
I spend at least 2 hours, 2.5.
Every day?
Every day. It's my happy place. It's my happy place. So needless to say, when everything shut down, I was
How'd you do it?
Well, I got a little bit of a home gym. I got some, you know, a couple bench presses, some plates and some dumbbells. And I've been trying to do the home gym workout. And it's just not the same. It's not the same.
How much you bench?
It's gone down significantly now. I'm like 455 right now.
Sam. No, I'm kidding.
Good job. Oh, well done.
Yeah, right. Jeez, 455.
Yes, sir.
And it's gone down.
Yeah.
What was your record?
I was doing 500. But
that's serious, man.
Yeah, I was trying to do some things. I was trying to get big, and I was made fun of a lot when I was younger. So
tell me about that.
Oh my goodness, I was vilified and put down at all times because I was a skinny kid.
What?
I was a skinny kid. Absolutely.
You didn't play sports or anything?
I did play sports. I played basketball. So I was so skinny and light on my feet that I could jump out the gym.
You dunked all of it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I can't really anymore, but yes, indeed. I used to be very skinny, and I got made fun of all the time. It got so bad. I had a girlfriend at the time, and she would just put me down on a consistent basis. And when she finally broke up with me, it was like, I'm never going to get made fun of again. I'm gonna make sure.
How old were you?
I was 19, 20, 20 years old. 20 years old.
And so you're 20 years old. You were 160, 170 pounds?
No, I was 225.
You were 225, and that was skinny?
But body heavy, bottom heavy.
Okay.
You know, my legs were tree trunks. My upper body was a twig.
Wow.
You know, so because all the basketball I played, my legs were thick. So, but I was a very skinny man, yeah.
And then you just said no more.
No more. No more. You put your mind to it, and you just go for it. And I've been working out. I started working out, and I haven't stopped.
And you eat everything instead?
Everything. So can't help it.
The diet is just whatever's in front of you.
At this point, the diet is really bad. I'm not going to lie. This lockdown, again, you know, you get a little depressed and you realize you can't do what you used to and your PRs go down. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to eat everything and I'm just going to have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll turn it back around. But we got an important election.
Yes.
And so I think your message to the black community is one that needs to be heard all around the country.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Yes, sir.
So in closing, anything else on Donald Trump or the country that you want our listeners to know, conservatism?
Mm-hmm.
How can they find you? How can they learn more about what you're going to be advocating for?
Well, you can find me on Instagram, Real Talk, period. Spell it all out. You can find me on Facebook, Stephen Davis. Stephen with a PH. That's the real way. But my final message is just use some critical thinking and research. Don't accept the media narrative. Don't fall for it. They are playing a game, they're playing a dangerous game, and they're playing for keeps. So it's up to us as citizens to do our own research and apply our own critical thinking. And you will be surprised what you find out.
We're going to win.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
God bless you, MAGA Hulk. Steven.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for joining the Charlie Kirk Show.
It's my pleasure.